And good morning, Redskins fans, and welcome to Redskins Park. And this is Monday Morning Redskins Roundup presented by Verizon. Great to have you aboard with us as the Washington Redskins have won 5 in a row and are, by a tiebreaker, in first place, Antoine Randall, on Monday, December, what is it, 17th?
17th.
After week 15, the latest they have been in first place after week 15 since 1999. Good morning.
It's been a while, and good morning to everybody. They're doing extremely well, and they got two games to solidify this thing. So.
Absolutely. Let's not get too far. Already the Twitter question. Can we clinch? Look, I don't know yet. I'm not smart. I don't think they can. I haven't figured out a way that they can clinch even a playoff spot, never mind the NFC East next week because of the Dallas win in overtime last night over Pittsburgh. The Giants getting just bamboozled in Atlanta certainly helps the cause. They go to Baltimore, who's struggling themselves after the loss here at FedEx last week. And then, of course, yesterday to Peyton
losses,
Manning. Yeah. Exactly. They've lost three in a row. So before we get too far ahead of ourselves, concentrate on the task at hand, and that is the Redskins' fifth win in a row and without Robert Griffin III. Before we get into the game, just want to get your thoughts. Of course, we talked last Monday morning about Robert's injury. We didn't know exactly how severe, but we certainly knew it was a possibility that Kirk would play. Are you cool, comfortable, without being a doctor and without being a head coach, with the decision to sit Robert, regardless of what happened yesterday?
Just from seeing his injury and seeing how it took place when his leg really snapped back like that, I mean, from that standpoint, I would say go ahead and sit him. You know, obviously because you have Kirk Cousins who can come in and play extremely well. But then, you got to take some doctors, you know, their consideration in terms of what they're telling you and how his knee and just what he looks like, you know, in terms of running. You got to take all that into account. And for me, I would definitely say sit him. And they did a good job in doing so. I know Robert didn't want to sit, which most players don't. They want to get out in the field and play and give it their all. But at the same time, he's got to be smart. He's got to make the best decision for the team. And Coach Shanahan did that, and I think it was great. And I think now the next step is to evaluate him again on Wednesday or Thursday, but definitely not do anything today or tomorrow.
It had to be what they saw mostly. Who knows what exactly the level of and condition of his knee. He looked great yesterday morning, bouncing around, throwing for Bruce Allen and Dr. Nunziata and Larry Hess in Cleveland. I was watching him real closely, look lively, spry, but again, without a real pass rush and without a real game, it's hard to kind of get a gauge for that. But it had to be what Mike and Kyle and the rest of the coaches and people were seeing during practice. Let me ask you this from a former player's perspective. Can you see when one of your teammates is clearly less than 100% and almost get a gauge that that guy shouldn't be out there, not only to risk further damage to himself, but to potentially hurt the team if it's one of your teammates? Can you see that during the course of practice?
As a player during the week, you can see that, especially if he's not out there a whole lot. And then, but the other thing you can see, too, as a player is that, you know, what is he like in the game? Has he had an injury before, you know, going through the week, maybe not practicing a whole lot, and then the lights come on Sunday and he shows up and plays well? That's one thing you got to take in consideration as well. If you're a player, you know, hey, he may be able to go out on Sunday and just turn it on and not really affect him. But if you see him throughout the week, he's got this injury, he's been bothering him, he's kind of nagging him, he's not really putting forth the effort that he needs not because that he doesn't want to, but just because the injury is holding him back, then that is, you know, a thought as a player, like, oh, man, we got to go out here and really pull for our compadre because he's not, you know, 100%, which nobody in the NFL is 100%, but you got to be able to go out and compete and have all your tools to go out and compete.
But the Redskins, who were loudly criticized for drafting Kirk Cousins in the fourth round, which I thought was preposterous and ridiculous.
I was one of the ones, too.
Okay, no, to criticize them. So to me, I was defending the move from the get-go. You were against it. That's fine. We all feel differently. Hey, that's why we're a free country. We can say whatever we want, think however we want. It paid off big dividends yesterday. Got off to a slow start. Kirk Cousins, 26 of 37, 329 yards in his first NFL start. Of course, two touchdowns, a long one to Leonard Hankerson, which we're going to see in just a second. Captain Kirk at the command right. of the ship, and after a rough start, got it going. Why don't we take a look at the highlights before we go any further okay. and let you kind of tell us what you saw through it? Because, again, the Redskins did not get off to the best of starts in yesterday's 38-21 win on offense or defense, really on offense. Here you see Robert working out before the game real quickly, but then something Redskins fans aren't used to seeing, Robert right, exactly. in a beanie during a game.
But Kirk came out and played extremely well. Right here, they got the two man underneath, and you can see the defender got right underneath and tipped it up right to the safety. They made a big-time play. So you got to give credit to Cleveland on that play. But, again, it's a ball that Kirk maybe should have dumped down to the back. But, it goes back to them just being able to get comfortable, and he did after a while. And, of course, they went in and punched it right in with Trent Richardson. He had some big-time effort throughout the day, and this was one of the ones that everybody piling, pushing yeah. over the pile. It's a big-time play. This is a team that had won three games in a row right. coming in. But, again, the Redskins went out and got it done. And then you go back to the play action, which I thought Kyle Shanahan did a great job all day with the play action, keeping them off balance, and a big-time pass right here to Leonard Hankerson, making the play. And, again, focusing, going to the ground, making sure he's holding on to it. But you got to give credit to Kirk Cousins, putting some air under that, giving him an opportunity to make this big-time catch. And, of course, leading to the touchdown. So they played some big-time ball.
I think that was the first time they used the play action boot in that particular sequence after the fourth series, which didn't go so well.
Exactly, and then they continue using it, you know, yeah. after that, because here it goes again. And this time, yeah. again, Kirk Cousins coming out, being smart, knowing he has nothing downfield and seeing the open grass and run up the field, getting about 16 to 17 yards on that play. And he made some big-time plays with his feet throughout the game, so we got to give him credit. RG3 checking it out. And the defense, we got to give him credit right here, but we need Johnson to make that big-time tackle right there. They really had this play dead to rights. If he makes that tackle right there, they don't give up the 17 yards right there to Josh Cribbs. And
Josh
Cribbs,
yeah.
Cribbs makes some big-time plays, you know, the Wildcat and also in the kick return game. And this was one they could have nailed down and really could have made a big-time play, in the backfield.
They've been hurt by that direct snap. Remember in Pittsburgh, Chris Rainey.
That's right. And that's what they got to work on. They certainly got it. Should have got it taken care of right there. It's a big-time play. Rob yep. Jackson's been playing extremely well. We got to give him some credit. The way he's coming and played on the behalf of Rakpo being out, making interceptions, batting down balls, causing fumbles and everything, and of course leading to this big-time touchdown right here again. Get the ball across just enough. That's all you need to make that touchdown. And, of course, we like the big swing. Going to get in the end zone, Alfred. And this is a point in the game where they really start beginning to really take over the ball game. And this is one of the things you always want to see as your team doing it. Again, the play action and then just giving a nice little touch pass out there. I think Leonard Hankerson had both of the touchdown passes.
Yep.
So, again, it goes back to Kyle Shanahan and his offense making some big-time plays. I can see RG3 knew already that it was going to be open, a big-time fake, and, again, open it up, putting it lofting out there just enough to make the big-time play. And, again, right here, to round it up, London Fletcher making a big-time play, interception. And, they got pressure on the quarterback throughout the game, and this was a big-time play.
And what was key about this was that was one play after a 28-yard hit to Jordan Cameron, the tight end, where they've struggled right. all year long covering tight ends. London makes a huge play to kind of erase a big play for the Browns, totally steals off momentum.
Exactly.
And then they were able, after that, with the interception, by the way, Cleveland and all the Cleveland guys. Barry Cofield had a big game. He was key on that fourth down stop. Then we saw the taser late in the
right.
game. All the Cleveland guys, London playing in his first game ever in Cleveland after
Unreal.
All of these years in the league, right? And he totally downplayed it during the week. They cashed that in after the London interception for a touchdown, and they get 14 more points off of turnovers. They came into the game 82 points, Antoine, mm-hmm. off of turnovers, which was only ninth in the league, which seems kind of low in
right.
terms of ranking. A bunch of teams kind of congested, but 14 more points directly off of turnovers. And that's how this defense, quite honestly, has survived. When they create turnovers, they do a good job, not always win, but they do a good enough job mm-hmm. to give their offense and their team a chance to win. When they don't create turnovers, i.e.
right.
Pittsburgh and Carolina, they really have very little chance.
And that's the difference. I mean, you talk about, you know, being able to get turnovers as a football team and as a defense. When you can get those turnovers again and the offense can come on the field and generate into points, typically you want to go down and get 6 or 7 points. But if you get 3, that's good too. But you want to get those turnovers, continue to generate those turnovers by putting pressure on the quarterback, by forcing the quarterback in different situations, and then knocking the ball loose. We talked about Rob Jackson, his interception, and the things he's done since Arakpo has been out, and him even putting pressure on the quarterback and knocking down the balls and recovering fumbles. These are things you need to continue to, you know, put your offense in the best position to make some big-time plays. And the defense has been doing well. We talked about them coming out of the break when it came from off the bye week. They've come out and played extremely well. They played extremely well. We talked about Dallas, just those three quarters, and mm-hmm. they picked it up. But for the most part, they've held their own and made some big-time plays, have taken the football away, which has produced some points.
Well, they were terrific against Philadelphia, 6 points there. Like you mentioned, terrific mm-hmm. against Dallas for almost three full quarters. I know the fourth quarter kind of got away from them. Listen, when you throw the ball 62 times, as Jim Haslett says, you know, and you only yield about 6.5 per pass attempt, hey, that's not that bad, okay? Good. So we understand what happened there, although there were some things to clean up. Then the Giants game with 11 days of rest, come out not so good first half, dominant in the second half, allow them only 3 points. Baltimore, again, not so good first half, very good in the second half, not really their fault that they gave up the 7. And even yesterday, the 14 first half points, you know, 7 of those were on the interception return down to the 6. So, I mean, you can charge them with 14, but that's, in my eyes, only a true 7. But then they did give up the one long one when the game was kind of widened and in control to Travis Benjamin. DJ Johnson, who, as you correctly pointed out, missed the tackle mm-hmm. on the direct snap to Josh Cribbs, just got blowtorched on that one coverage.
And that's the thing you think about. As you get going, you know, as a defense and you're playing extremely well, especially late in the game, you want to close the games out. We talked about how Dallas came back a little bit, and we know the defense came on strong against Baltimore, and the game was still close at the end. But they got to get to that point now that they're playing well in the first half, go in, make those adjustments, and then be able to come out and just shut them completely down in the second half. And you got to look for that defense to continue to do that and need to do it a little bit more, I should say, because moving forward, getting close to the playoff, and again, the games in December matter most than any of them, and these last two that are coming up are going to be very important, so that defense is going to have to step up even more. They've been playing well, but they got to be able to step up and play a little bit better. I think we talked about already the 14 points that they gave mm-hmm. up, but here's the, again, like you said, where did they give it up? How did the offense get down there? Obviously, the big play, the interception, them getting down and them scoring it on the defense, but the defense still, you know, played extremely well for the most part.
Right. If you give up a natural 14 points but help your team generate, and that's how I look at it, 14 offensive points, because you take the turnover and then you directly put it into the end zone mm-hmm. after a couple of plays of offense, and I get it. I understand that. But if you give up 14 and yet help your team generate 14, to me that's essentially like pitching a shutout. I mean, it's essentially bottom line net yardage, net result. It's like pitching a shot. Now, I know that's a little crazy, but just stay with me in terms of the thought process of how the defense has helped. Sure, the offense has been fantastic, but you do not win games in this league on just one side of the ball. New England has found that out. Hey, you can win a lot of games with Tom Brady, but even last night, they couldn't win. Why? Because their defense failed them.
And you need both sides. I mean, we talk about it all the time. You talk about the offensive side, you talk about the defensive side, and we also talk about special teams, which played a big role in the Baltimore game. Not a significant role in this game, in this past game, but offense and defense, you got to be able to have those under control and making those big-time plays on both sides. Offense make big-time plays in this game, and so did the defense, and the result was a W. You need that every week, week in and week out, but it goes hand in hand, if you will. Offense goes out and makes some big-time plays. The defense comes in and do the same. Defense gets an interception, then the offense is able to come on the field, drive down the field, and score. That's what you need, you know, working hand in hand, keeping that momentum back and forth, you know, so your team continue to move down the field. And again, somewhere along the line, we're going to need special teams again to step up and make some big time plays.
Yeah, once again, Brandon Banks inactive. Kai Forbath, though, with a 44-yard field goal.
He's still rolling.
Savrock had a couple of big punts. Lorenzo Alexander with a couple of big hits. Did get hurt on one, but not on a special teams play on a third and six. We'll get into all the nitty gritty stuff, the nuances of a 38-21 win. We're with you here on Redskins.com, CSN Washington.com. Great to have you aboard with us. We're live at Redskins Park on a Monday morning. It is, for a fifth consecutive week, a
Victory Monday.
There you go. Not always on a Monday, but we'll take it anyway we can. The Redskins have won 5 in a row. They're in first place via tiebreaker, and they control their own destiny with 2 weeks to go at Philadelphia, and then home for Dallas, which probably will be flexed to a Sunday night game. Yep. We're coming back to talk about it with you on Monday morning Redskins Roundup.
As the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, Papa John's is excited for this week's big games. Get Papa John's in your house to watch your favorite NFL team. Because after all, great football deserves a better pizza. Hey, Redskins fans, it's Papa John's toppings for touchdowns time. Every Monday, get a large pizza for just $9.99 and a free topping for every Redskins touchdown. Double the toppings with a Redskins victory. Papa John's, official pizza of the Washington Redskins.
Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Bob?
Oh, hey, Alex. Just picking up some brochures, posters, copies of my acceptance speech.
Great. It's always good to have a backup plan in case I get hit by a meteor.
Wow, your hair looks great. Didn't realize they did Photoshop here.
Hey, good call on those mugs. Can't let them see what you're drinking.
You know, I'm glad we're both running a nice, clean race. No need to get nasty.
Here's your honk if you had an affair with Taylor yard sign.
Looks good.
FedEx Office. Now save 50% on banners.
This is perfect.
The Packers are going to be tough this year.
Hope so.
Aw.
Yes!
I mean, aw, yeah.
That's 6 sacks on the season.
Actually, it's 7.
Even better, baby.
With NFL Mobile from Verizon, no one will know the game better than you.
Hey, Matthew!
Well, almost no one. Get coverage of every NFL game, NFL Network, and NFL Red Zone for only $5 a month. Only on Verizon.
Everything you love about Geico. Now mobile. Download the Geico app today.
And we welcome you back to Monday Morning Redskins Roundup. Nice to have you aboard. It's presented by Verizon. We're with you here on Redskins.com, CSNWashington.com. Every day after the game, usually on a Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern time, you can watch the show anytime on demand, 24/7 on Redskins.com. And we'll go inside the locker room here in just a little bit. I've got to get my guys listed up. I forgot to write down my guys who we're going to go into the locker room with, but I know we've got plenty of sound coming up for you from Larry and Sonny inside the Browns or inside the Redskins locker room at Cleveland Browns Stadium yesterday. But Antoine, before we go too far, right, and we'll get all your questions, send them at Redskins, hashtag Redskins Talk. We got a bunch already piled up, so I want to incorporate that. We'll go over the complete playoff picture. But Kirk Cousins, we opened with Robert not playing, and that obviously meant Kirk played. And we gave you his numbers, very impressive after the first four drives, how he managed the offense. We talked about the play action. But overall, did you see what you needed to see from a guy in that spot? And was there anything that I guess let's start with a couple of little negative things first. It seemed early on we saw the interception. Did you think that was a bad read, or do you think that was just trying to fit a ball into a tight window?
I don't think it was a bad read. I just think he was trying to fit, you know, the ball in a tight window. And again, the window that we're talking about is cover two man when you got a defender playing underneath and you also have a safety behind. So he really tried to fit it in the window. Wasn't a bad read. It was the proper place to go with the ball. Obviously, they need, I think it was 9 or 10 yards at the time. So it's a good read. I don't have a problem with that. But I think the issue is that, you know, should he have forced it? Take a shot, you know, try to get it. It got tipped up. If the ball just gets batted down, we're sitting here talking about it on a different perspective. But at the same time, he took a shot, tried to fit it in, didn't quite get it. But that's just part of it. You know, it's not as if it's over the top. It happened. They overcame it and made some big-time plays.
And that happened on third down, and that was a problem early in the game, too.
Right.
If you look on the first series, Corey Lichtensteiger takes a false start, which kind of steals some momentum from whatever they were trying to build with a couple of Morris five-yard runs, and they had a third and five, I think third and six, and they short-armed a pass. And Kirk was, you know, a little jitters. Then the next drive was the interception. Then the next drive is a third and nine or a third and 10 incompletion, or I'm sorry, they got sacked. Then there was another third and seven or third and eight on the fourth series. You can't get an offense going, especially one that quite honestly hasn't been great on third downs to begin with all year, when you're in third and seven plus. Right. I mean, it's hard to do that on the road.
Right, and you got to kind of limit those mistakes as much as possible. You don't want to have anything setting you back. I mean, we always talk about, you know, how much easier it is for the offensive coordinator to make a call from third and three to third and six, which is much better than the third and eight plus, the third and nine plus, because you got so many different plays you can run, third and three to seven, opposed to third and eight and, you know, third and 10 plus or whatever. So it just comes down to, we go back and look at, we always talk about things that happen after the bye. After the bye, how much they've picked it up on third down and made some big time plays, made some different calls to give them or to convert those third down plays. And again, it goes back to also now, where's Kirk Cousins now? We see the way he came out and played. Had a couple of miscues early in the game, but that goes back to that quarterback-receiver relationship that they got to kind of get going. But for the most part, you know, that's just where he is coming out. You know, they had a week of preparation, but it's all not there. But still, they still were able to hook up on a lot of big-time plays and make some big-time throws, big-time catches, and also being in command in the huddle, making those calls, getting to and from the line, calling the timeout when you need it, making sure you're not running out of time on the play clock. He managed the game real well and, again, made some big-time plays.
We're going to hear from Kirk a little bit later here on Monday Morning Redskins Roundup, but one of the guys he targeted, as a matter of fact, had six catches, 65 yards, is Pierre Garçon, who, you know, has made all the difference. I mean, ultimately, he leads the Redskins in this game in yardage, and I wanted to get to a point that I kind of came up with during the game in a sec. Pierre had an interesting day. I mean, he had, you know, a bogus non-defensive pass interference called against him. Then he had a taunting call against him in which he did his usual spin and his, I don't know what that is.
What is right here?
Yeah, whatever.
It might be a little Michael Jackson.
Whatever he's doing. I call it he's rolling the dice. I don't know what he's doing out there. But he's having fun. He's being Pierre. He gets a taunting call despite the fact that 52, the linebacker, I don't know if
came
that was...
Came towards him.
It came, well, right. Shoved him.
After,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And then he had another incident in which Joe Hayden was taunting him, and Hayden did not... I mean, Hayden screaming at him after an incomplete and no call there, but yet Pierre continuing to fight, continuing to just soldier on, if you will. Six catches, 65 yards, led the Redskins in receiving yards yesterday, and after the game, caught up with Larry and Sonny in the locker room.
Hi, how you doing? Pierre Garçon, how satisfying is this win? The Redskins now in first place in the NFC East. Hard-fought battle. What are your thoughts?
It's a good win. You know, the Browns are a good team. They play tough defense, a great offense, and, you know, it's a hard-fought game. You know, not having Robert and Kirk stepping up, you know, getting a 300-yard game. Passing all around. We start off slow, but we finish well, so it makes us feel good as a team because, you know, we fought through hard times and finished on the positive side of the game.
You really had something going with the guy covering you, didn't you?
Well, you know, I try to play hard, try to play physical, try to give everything I got when I'm out there, you know, just having fun, trying to play hard and you know, leave everything out there.
The young quarterback coming in, getting his first start, Kirk, he did a remarkable job, didn't he?
Oh, he did a great job, you know. He kept his poise. He kept the offense calm, and we ran the plays. He made the throws that he needed to make, and he did a lot of great things. And, you know, for his first game starting, he got over 300 yards. That's a good thing.
I mean, extra emotion. Why do you think it was so intense? Obviously, a lot on the line for your team. Did that play into the emotions of the game?
You know, try to play every week with a lot of emotions. You know, I love this game. I love playing, and I'm blessed to play it. You know, not like a lot of guys from where I'm from are not playing, and I'm playing for them and playing for the guys in the locker room, just playing hard and enjoying it while I'm out here trying to leave everything out there, so I have no regrets.
Let's stay in first, okay?
All right, we got to keep going. You know, we got a lot of good things going, but, you know, we have to keep working hard and keep bringing it back on weekdays. We got to win on Wednesday, got to win on Thursday and Friday to win on Sundays.
Good job, Pete. Congratulations. Job.
No problem. Thank you.
All right,
there he is, Pierre Garçon, who now has 34 catches, 502 yards, and four touchdowns on the year, plus a fumble recovery for a touchdown. The Redskins have caught some breaks along the way here. There's no doubt. One of the bigger, I guess, plays, if you will, that almost kind of gets forgotten about, and Charlie reminded me, is before I think it was Royster's touchdown, or maybe it was Alfred's second touchdown. Mm-hmm. I think it was Alfred's second touchdown. Before Alfred's second touchdown, which really iced the game, Santana catches a ball, gets popped, fumbles forward, and who's there in a pile? And, I mean, it was a dogfight. Was Pierre Garçon ripping that ball out and holding on for dear life.
Yeah, we didn't bring him here just to catch the ball. Go get the ball in the foul.
Hey, go so, get fumbles. That's why we're signing you to a $22 million guaranteed
deal. We talk about Pierre Garçon, and we know when he was injured how the offense kind of slowed down a little bit. And when I say slowed down, I'm talking specifically in terms of the wide receiver court. Yeah, you got some guys who stepped up and made some big-time plays, but the difference when he's on the field that he creates, I mean, not just in the passing game, but also the mentality, the fight, the going out and having being feisty, if you will, against the defensive backs, you know, blocking linebackers and safeties. When they have to, and he makes the difference. I mean, we talked about it here briefly a second ago. Being an Indy, he really wasn't a guy. I mean, he was behind Reggie Wayne, and, of course, he made some big-time plays there. And now he's really the guy, the focal point of this offense, and it's good to have him healthy back on the field making some plays. And, again, he is the difference maker in that wide receiver crew in terms of coming up, making those big-time plays. But, again, bringing an attitude, that nasty attitude of fighting, going down the field, making some blocks, and just being involved with the offense.
Absolutely. Why don't we get a couple of tweets, comments, questions before we hear from Rob Jackson here in just a little bit, because he was as big as Pierre Garçon mm-hmm. and as big as Leonard Hankerson were on offense and in the receiving. Rob, as we showed in the highlights, has been. Michael Berlew asks, at Redskins, hashtag Redskins Talk, incredible job by Kirk Cousins, and the secondary continues to improve. How dangerous can this team be in the playoffs? Now, first of all, I have to qualify. They got to make the playoffs first, but how dangerous? I mean, you played this game at a high level, at the elite level. Super Bowl, everything. You're a Super Bowl champion. You know how hot your team that won a Super Bowl got, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you were here in 2007 when the Redskins got hot down the stretch after Sean T. Is that what you need to be, just red hot in December, or is there something else?
You need to be red hot and red hot at the right time. I mean, obviously, they've come off the bye and playing extremely well. But it goes back to now winning games in December. And they're hot right now in terms of, you know, getting the ball up and down the field in terms of offense and making some big-time plays on defense, getting the other offense to stop. So that's where you got to be. You got to be hitting on all cylinders. And, again, special teams played a big role in Baltimore game, not necessarily in this game, but then you still go back to what? Everybody's got to be hitting on those same cylinders. And, again, being hot, being having that momentum moving forward in December will certainly help you going into the playoffs. You need that because you got teams who are coming into the playoffs for the most part who are hot as well. So that's what it is around the league. The teams that get hot in December and are able to basically win out sometimes to get to where they need to be, which the Redskins need to do, obviously, and have been doing, they're one of the hottest teams right now. You look at other teams around the league, top of the AFC, top of the NFC, that just haven't won consistently just yet in December. You look at Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's doing it pretty well. San Francisco's had a loss, I think, a loss here or there before this win against New England. But for the most part, the Redskins are the top team right now in terms of on that streak and being ready to go into the playoffs. Now, they got two more games left. Two games that they certainly can win, but they got to be focused. And, of course, you got to be mindful that Coach Kyle Shanahan, of course, Mike Shanahan are going to come up with some wrinkles on an offense to make sure they have a different potent scheme going into the playoffs.
You know the only team that's hotter than the Washington Redskins right now?
Who is that?
Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos.
That's right.
Where did Mike Shanahan coach? Who did Mike Shanahan help get to Denver, essentially?
Mm-hmm.
By giving him his castle out there in Denver, Colorado. Peyton Manning. Remember, Peyton, of course, lived at Mike's mansion, castle, whatever you want to call it, out in Denver. So how ironic would that be if these two teams met, of course, and I know we're way down the road here, but it's interesting to kind of see the dynamic of this league. Let's get in another tweet and question for you. And this is going to be a big issue all this week. Chris at ShortStack38 asks, what's your level of confidence going into next week, even if RG3 does not play? You mentioned two divisional games at Philadelphia. We know Philadelphia's season is over. They are wounded. They've got all sorts of issues and probably going to rip that thing up from the ground level up. But still, anytime you're in the division against a team with still some weapon and still some pride, you got to figure that's a tough game, RG3 or not.
It's a tough game without your starting quarterback. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing you got to look at. A guy who's been starting throughout the year, he was making a big-time plays. You have to go in and make some adjustments. If RG3 doesn't play, obviously we know what Kirk Cousins can do. He's seen it, you know, this past week. We've seen it in the past in preseason. We've seen when he's come in and had to help out even in the Baltimore game. So now it's just a matter of him continuing to improve. I think the chances are great for the Redskins coming out. And, again, Kirk Cousins gets another week up under his belt. If he continues to play smart, then they have an opportunity to win that game also without Robert Griffin III. But do you want to go in the game without him if he can play? Of course not. You want to have Robert out there on the field. So now it just comes down to, hey, you know, if Robert can't play, can Kirk get it done? Everybody feels like he can, and we'll see where the chips may fall, but at the same time, I think, you know, Kurt will be fine with Kurt out there at the helm because of what he's done so far.
Before we hit the break, real quickly, Jim Stewart asks, Brian Pennington asks, at Redskins, hashtag Redskins Talk, do you think our record would be what it was or what it is without Alfred Morris? The kid's a monster. 87 yards,
right.
Two touchdowns yesterday. We know how physical he is. We know what a story he is. where would they be without Alfred Morris?
They would be struggling without Alfred Morris. I mean, that's one thing we talk about with a rookie quarterback coming in with Robert Griffin III. Yes, he's got a lot of different skills. He can throw the ball. He can run a ball. But if you have one of the top offenses or the top, the number one rushing offense in the league, that certainly helps you out as a rookie quarterback. He can hand that ball off to Alfred Powers, and we know he breaks tackles and after contact from the first guy and gets up the field. So that pays big dividends for a rookie quarterback. So I think we got to give some credit out to Alfred as well. What would we be without Alfred? We wouldn't be in the same position. And certainly Alfred's a rookie too, but both rookies, Alfred and RG3, have been playing well throughout the season.
The voice of the Redskins, Larry Michael, on the way, plus Rob Jackson, Mike Shanahan, Kirk Cousins, and more. This is Monday Morning Redskins Roundup, presented by Verizon.
Are you hibernating, Ticket Oak?
I'm not a bear, Ben.
Well, I got this Ticket Oak on the stupid internet, and there's no tickets for Sunday's game.
Ben, that's a turnip.
Oh.
Besides, you already have tickets coming out of your ear hole.
You.
Benjamin.
Not everyone has a Ticket Oak.
Go to bed, champ.
But everyone can use StubHub. StubHub, where do you want to sit?
This is perfect.
Packers are going to be tough this year.
Hope so.
Aww.
Yes!
I mean, aw, yeah.
That's 6 sacks on the season.
Actually, it's 7.
Even better, baby.
With NFL Mobile from Verizon, no one will know the game better than you.
Hey, Matthew!
Well, almost no one. Get coverage of every NFL game, NFL Network, and NFL Red Zone for only $5 a month. Only on Verizon.
Bob?
Oh, hey, Alex. Just picking up some brochures, posters, copies of my acceptance speech.
Great. It's always good to have a backup plan in case I get hit by a meteor.
Wow, your hair looks great. Didn't realize they did Photoshop here.
Hey, good call on those mugs. Can't let them see what you're drinking.
You know, I'm glad we're both running a nice, clean race. No need to get nasty.
Here's your honk if you had an affair with Taylor Yard sign.
Looks good.
FedEx Office. Now save 50% on banners.
We are a winning team, a partnership supreme. Bob and the Redskins are bold, and we fight for quality, choice and value, honesty, a cause that we vow to uphold. Yes, we'll fight, fight, fight with the last ounce of our might till those phony sales and gimmicks are no more. When you see Bob take the field, all the wannabes will yield to the Redskins' official furniture store.